Mongo's Saint Maria and Watermelon Man.
Island Life, Waiheke people, events and issues. Brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by The Village Butchery, the place to go for fine cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. Island Life, Waiheke people, events and issues. Here on Waiheke Radio every Saturday morning from 10 a.m.
Yes, you're on Island Life. We've actually got the man himself here, Steve from Island Butcheries or the Humble Pie Company. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How's it going over there?
It's pretty good. We're sort of betwixt and between seasons at the moment.
That's right.
One minute it's summer, one minute it's not. But today looks as though it's going to be a barbecue afternoon.
It could well be, and you've got just the things sitting in your shop for a barbecue, haven't you?
We've got plenty of things there, all ready to go for the barbecue. In the summer, I've got a few ideas of newer things. They may be pretty old-fashioned, but coming back into style, I think.
Like what?
Lamb or even mutton. Thinking about those things for barbecues, sort of the old mutton in straw with clay. Mm. We have plenty around that, and you can put that on your coals nice and slow. Go away, come back in 2 or 3 hours and have a really nice, almost gypsy style sort of cut of meat. Various things with chicken. We're working on turkey. I know everybody has turkey at Christmas, but actually it has an ingredient. It only seems to be around at Christmas. But perhaps do some different ideas with the turkey for barbecues, that sort of thing. Yeah, basically just doing a bit more research and coming up with something old.
Some bright ideas, yeah. Mutton and hogget are cuts that I haven't seen in a butcher shop for an awful long time. Is that because they went out of fashion or because most of it's being exported overseas?
Bit of both. It's basically mutton has been out of fashion for a long time. But that's coming back in. But the actual difference in price now between lamb and mutton isn't that much. Lamb is getting more and more expensive. The sort of general population of sheep has dropped quite dramatically from what it used to be. We still export a good number of sheep, and just the way the market is, they get more money for stuff that they export, and we are kind of left behind. Lamb kill generally is down, and we're finding it hard to get enough kidneys and lamb fry and those sorts of things. And of course, just recently we've got this gas thing, which is, it sounds a bit silly, but that's actually impacting on the killing plants, because they don't have hot water because everything's gas-fired water heating, so their plants are being closed down and put in mothballs, I suppose, until this thing is sorted. They're going to be moving meat around up and down the country from places that are still able to produce product. But it's quite crazy, actually, the way things...
Well, yeah, I mean, that gas leak in Taranaki, sort of, it had effects that you just wouldn't think of, such as a lack of lamb in the butcher shop.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to a a mate of mine the other day, he's the chef out at Ellerslie Racecourse, and he's got several thousand people to feed on Tuesday because it's Melbourne Cup, and he's got no gas. So he's coming up with alternative arrangements.
Yes, yes,
it impacts quite a way down the line. You know, you don't just think of it, switch the gas on the cooker and that's it.
No, that's right. They might have to dig a hangy pit in the middle of the course at Ellerslie.
Well, I mean, it's alternative stuff. It might get people thinking again.
Think outside the square.
You know, how much we rely on stuff.
Well, I mean, we talk about how reliant we are on electricity, but gas is just as big a problem, isn't it?
It's been touted as a cheaper alternative to electricity, but it won't be that cheap now.
No, that's right.
New pipelines, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. Just getting back to your old as new concept for summer barbecues, and you're looking at the at hoggart or mutton.
Yeah, mutton.
No, it goes lamb, mutton, hoggart. Is that the right way around?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mutton's got more flavour, I think.
It has. It's
it hasn't got quite as much fat either, has it?
No, that's true. But it's just something, I don't know, maybe it is because it's got a lot of flavour that people don't like it. I don't know. We seem to eat a lot of things with no flavour. You know, McDonald's is very popular for whatever reason. That is pretty bland, tasteless sort of food. Yeah. Availability probably as well is another issue. A lot of mutton in the past would have just gone straight to manufacturing purposes and pet foods, that sort of thing. But the issue is the number of sheep, also the number of farmers that are actually growing milk rather than sheep farming. That's had an impact on the production numbers, so it comes and goes, and it's also getting very, very expensive. It's probably almost doubled in price over the last 2 years. You're looking at $40-odd for a leg lamb sort of thing, which is not what it used to be, the traditional Sunday roast. I suppose a lot of people look at it as a treat, whereas once upon a time, mutton and hoggart especially was that's what you had because that's what you could afford.
That's right.
It was a cheap meal.
Yeah, it was. And it lasted. It didn't just do one meal. It'd do the family for lunches a shepherd's pie and about three dinners and a couple of lunches, whereas now you're lucky to get one meal out of it. Maybe that's because we're eating more than we were back then, I don't know. But we're
probably eating more, eating less sort of fillers, potatoes and bread and things like that. But as you say, that skill of using and reusing and actually planning ahead to get the most out of whatever it is you've got. I always suggest to people to buy a whole chicken and cut it up themselves, because then you've got at least two meals for a family of four out of it, if not three meals, and perhaps the basic stock for a soup or something for a lighter meal at some stage.
Exactly, and of course you'd cut it up for them if push came to shove.
That's something else that we've been vaguely discussing, is perhaps have sort of shop nights where we can have people come in and just do some basic demonstrations.
What
of
a good idea!
How we cut up various animals and what the uses are for those particular cuts.
That'd be a brilliant idea.
How to get the most out of what it is.
I'll put my name down for that one. It's a skill I do not have. I'm hopeless at cutting up things because I just don't know what I'm doing. So that would be great, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, well, it's surprisingly, it is quite hard and technical. If you watch Kel, our butcher, I mean, he is basically a surgeon. That's only something that I've come to through being a chef. But, you know, between us, I can say I want this bit and he can cut it out. But once you've got the basic skill and you understand how the animal's put together, it's quite simple to disassemble it, which is basically what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm talking to Steve of Oneroa Village of Butchery. Now, Steve, you've come up with this concept of old as new for barbecues this year. Is that going to carry on into different types of sausages?
It will be. The sausages is just something that we play around with. We made a batch last week which we christened Mediterranean beef, and they had olives and garlic and sun-dried tomatoes and feta cheese, and they just flew out the door. They were just amazing.
Oh, you've got me salivating here. That's wonderful. how does mutton work in sausages? Is it okay in sausage? Mutton or hogget?
Is quite good. It's a, like you said, it's a stronger flavour, and it will produce a big flavoured sausage, and it would be ideal for mixing with maybe some beer or red wine. It carries flavour quite well, but it's a good idea to experiment with stuff so we can keep things getting different.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's trying these things that that you can come up with these wonderful things like that Mediterranean sausage. Are you going to do that again?
We will. I've got to try and remember exactly what we put in it, because I just said, oh, we'll have about a handful of this and two handfuls of that, and I didn't actually write it down. And we made up a mix and then tried a little bit and said, oh, it needs just a little bit more of this, a bit more of that, and then it was right, but I didn't actually physically write it down so we could exactly replicate it.
Well, you'll have to try it out on Carol at home, because it sounds like it'd be a great summer sausage.
It is. It's very almost salad-y like with all those the olives and the sun-dried tomato and the feta cheese. Sorry, not halloumi cheese, not feta. But it's different shapes, sizes. We've sold quite a few of the coil boerewors, the South African one, and some Cumberland, which we do in a big coil, which you cook on your barbecue.
You're making me hungry.
To size.
And it's just lunchtime, so that's good. I'll have to come across the road and see what you got there, Steve. Thank you very much for coming in. We've been talking to Steve of Oneroa Village Butchery, who is the sponsor of Island Life. Thank you, Steve.
Cheers. Thank you.